thank you for joining us today. I'm so excited to open Genesis chapter 50 and share with you today as we continue this journey on the life of Joseph. Now, next Sunday, I'm going to be sharing the next message, which is about overcoming distractions in our life. But on May the 17th, I want you to really be praying towards that message, and I want you to make sure that you invite others to join you in watching, friends and family, especially that don't know the Lord Jesus. Because on that Sunday, I'm going to be sharing how we overcome life's ultimate challenge, death. Today, we're going to be looking in Genesis chapter 50, beginning in verse 15, and I'm going to read through verse 21 in a moment. But we'll be looking back in chapter 45 and looking back in chapter 42 at the life of Joseph and how Joseph overcame bitterness and resentment. And we're going to be looking at what the scripture says about that this morning. So go ahead and take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 50. I want to begin by telling you about a news story I read, and it was concerning a lady down in the Tampa Bay area that died at the age of 93. Her name was Josie. Josie had three children, and it was one of the most unusual death notices that you will probably ever read. As a matter of fact, it was not only unusual, but it was rather short. Listen to what it said. She is survived by her son, AJ, who loved and cared for her. Her daughter, Ninfa, who betrayed her trust, and son, Peter, who broke her heart. This unusual story was picked up by national news and spread all over the country because of its unusual nature. You can well imagine that when the investigation began as to why there was such bitterness and hurt in this news story, it's because the kids were fighting over mom's money. Did you hear it? Did you hear the bitterness among the children? It's not very pretty, is it? When you're offended or disappointed by others and allow hurt to germinate in your heart, bitterness and resentment can take root. It becomes characterized by an unforgiving spirit and a generally negative and critical attitude. Bitterness and resentfulness are sinful and they're self-defeating. What they end up doing is coloring your conscious and unconscious thoughts and actions. If they're allowed to fester, they destroy and they kill. What would you have done if you had been Joseph? What if your brothers had betrayed you and put you into a pit? What if somebody had sold you into slavery or lied about you and you were put into prison for something that you didn't even do? What if you had been overlooked by the baker and the cupbearer? Today we're going to learn how to overcome the challenge of resentment and bitterness with forgiveness. Because bitterness and resentfulness, resentment in the human heart creates a savage anger that is unbelievable. After the Holocaust and World War II were over, in Europe, all throughout Europe, especially in Eastern Europe, there was savage reprisals taken against German citizens. As a matter of fact, there was a documentary called The Savage Peace that talked about the victims of World War II and the Holocaust particularly began to take revenge and wrath out on German citizens who maybe some of them didn't even participate in the horrible atrocities. But this overwhelming sense of bitterness and anger and wrath just became poured out into the lives of people. I want to tell you something this morning. God does not want you to live with bitterness and resentment in your heart. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:15, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many may be defiled." When you read the life of Joseph, you realize that it's been over 20 years since he had encountered his brothers. And if you go back to chapter 42, chapter 45, and now in chapter 50, you're going to see that the pain of that past experience had not left any of them. Listen with me as I begin in Genesis chapter 50, and we're going to read in this passage through verse 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph should bear a grudge against us and pay us back in full for all the wrong we did to him?" So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father charged before he died, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. Now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we're your servants.' But Joseph said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for I am in God's place, am I? And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And so he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." When you look in the Bible and you go back to Genesis chapter 42, even the very first time that Joseph encountered his brothers and the dire situation that they were in, there had been a famine in the land. Jacob sent the other sons into Egypt to get grain, and they were taken into the house of second in command to only Pharaoh, and they were trembling in their boots. And in verse 21 of chapter 42, here's what they said: "Truly we are guilty concerning our brother, because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us, yet we would not listen. Therefore, this distress has come upon us." After all these years, they still remembered, it was always in their mind, what they had done to their brother Joseph. Now, Joseph hadn't revealed himself yet, and in verse 24, here is his response. He turned away from them and wept. But when he returned to them and spoke to them, he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. The brothers had never forgotten what they had done, and Joseph had still remembered the wounds of the separation from his family, the betrayal by his brothers, and the wave of emotion was unbelievable. What causes bitterness and resentment? Bitterness is resentful cynicism that results in an intense antagonism or hostility towards others. As an adjective, the word bitter means sharp like an arrow or pungent to the taste. It's disagreeable or venomous. John MacArthur describes it like this: "It is a smoldering resentment, a brooding, grudge-filled attitude. It's the spirit of irritability that keeps a person in perpetual animosity, making him sour and venomous." Another commentator said, "Bitterness is settled hostility that poisons the whole inner man." Now, I'm not saying that these are exhaustive reasons that we become bitter and resentful, but let me give you four that we can identify that could have been in the life of Joseph. First of all, it's the mistreatment by others. The fact of the matter is, those of you that are listening today, someone has mistreated you at some point in your life. Maybe it was a friend, maybe it was a family member, maybe it was your boss, maybe it was a coworker, it could have been a stranger. No matter who it is or who it was, all of us have been mistreated by others in our life. And if we're not careful, a seed of bitterness and resentment can grow. Another reason that sometimes we become bitter and resentful is jealousy. That is, we get jealous of other people and their achievements. We become jealous of things that they have or they've achieved, and maybe we think we deserve it and they don't. So sometimes we become bitter and resentful because of jealousy. Another reason might be circumstances. I can't begin to imagine everything that Joseph experienced in his life. But what I can imagine that in those deep, dark nights when he was lying there in a pit or in the prison, how Joseph must have been very, very insecure and anger and bitterness and resentment could have overtaken his life. Are you bitter at the circumstances that you find yourself in? Right now, with everything that's been going on, I mean, there are people who have lost their jobs. There are people that are at home with one another, getting grumpy and ill at one another. There are people who are hurting financially. There are people that are losing businesses. This current coronavirus crisis has impacted a lot of people in a lot of different ways. I've talked with people that I'm concerned about their mental health because of the impact that it's making on their life. And the very circumstances that we find ourselves in, it may be that you're becoming embittered or resentful, saying, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Just this week, I talked with someone who asked me, Daryl, help me understand that if God is loving and God is powerful and God can do all things, why is this happening? It's a good question. Sometimes our circumstances become the soil in which bitterness and resentment grows. There's a fourth reason, and that is unfulfilled dreams. Now, I realize that at this point, Joseph had been elevated to second in command in Egypt, only next to Pharaoh. He was prosperous. He had a lot of power. He had all of those blessings that we talked about last week. But nevertheless, those dreams early on in his life, he probably at some point began to wonder, are these things ever going to be fulfilled? Causes of bitterness and resentment. Somebody said that pride can be what causes people to become bitter. Pride, instead of yielding and becoming broken and soft through our trials, we refuse to allow God to work. We refuse to bow before the Lord and surrender even our situation to God, and we become prideful against God. I don't know what's happened in your life. I don't know who's hurt you and wounded you. I don't know what unfulfilled dreams that you miss. But I know this. Bitterness and resentment in your heart kills and destroys from the soul. So what's the cure for bitterness and resentment? The question may be better asked, does bitterness and resentment cause unforgiveness, or does unforgiveness cause bitterness and resentment? In this passage, we learn that Joseph overcame the challenge of resentment and bitterness because of two things. Number one, he trusted God's sovereign plan for his life. And number two, he treated others with grace. If you want to overcome any bitterness and resentment in your life, no matter what the root cause of that may be, you have to begin with this key thought. You overcome the challenge of bitterness and resentment when you trust God's sovereign plan for your life and when you treat other people with grace. Now, let's look at that first point, that is trusting God's sovereign plan. In Romans 8, verse 28, the Bible says, we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. I wish I could explain to you why bad things happen to good people and why good things happen to bad people. I don't have every explanation that there is in life. But what I do know is this. I believe that there is a God in heaven who loves us. And from before the creation of the world, God had a redemptive plan for mankind. And God is not absent. God is actively at work in your life and in my life. And God is bringing about his ultimate redemptive plan for humanity. And my life plays a part in that. And sometimes life doesn't seem fair, and I'm glad that when I ask why isn't life fair, that I realize that if God were fair, then I would suffer under the judgment of God because of my own sin, but because of the grace and mercy of God, I can find forgiveness in Jesus Christ. I don't understand everything, but what I can say is that I am confident that God is sovereign. He is not absent, but he is active. And when you and I say, I trust the sovereign hand of God, that God is working his plan redemptively for humanity, and that God is even working in my life specifically, then I don't have to grow bitter and resentful when everything doesn't work out just like I think that it should. But let's look at that second thing. How do we overcome bitterness and resentment? Not only do we trust the sovereign plan of God for our life, but the second thing we have to do is we have to treat other people with grace. When you read this story, it's interesting because one of the most important things about the life of Joseph is we keep hearing this, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. You need to understand that the only way that you can be a grace giver is when the God of all grace fills you with his own life, and the spirit-filled life of Christ in you is poured out in expression into the lives of other people. In other words, you can't treat others with grace if you're not filled with the Spirit of the living God, and if you do not walk in the wonder of the grace of God that has been given to you. Grace is undeserved. You know, when you read this passage in chapter 50, the brothers actually said after the death of their father, they were very concerned because they thought, well, maybe Joseph was just being kind while dad was around, but now that dad has died, I can imagine that he's going to take his wrath and vengeance out on us. They said, what if Joseph should bear a grudge against us and pay us back in full for all the wrong we did to him? See, they knew they had done wrong. They didn't deserve grace, but neither do you, and neither do I. The fact of the matter is that were it not for grace, all of us would be hopeless. And the Bible says that when you have received the abundance of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, and you recognize the wretchedness of your own sin and turn to him in repentance and faith, it empowers you and encourages you to treat others with grace, because you know that the grace given to you was undeserved. And the grace that we have to give others, it's undeserved as well. But not only is grace undeserved, grace is also unreserved. In this passage, the Bible says, he may pay us back in full. What if Joseph had said, you know what? I'm not going to take their life, and I'm not going to sell them into slavery, but I'm going to give them a little taste of what they gave me. You see, sometimes what we want when we become bitter and resentful for what others have done to us or circumstances we don't feel like are fair, we want a pound of flesh for an ounce of offense. The fact of the matter is, Joseph didn't do any of those things. When you see this passage, Joseph actually said to them in verse 20, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. But he said to his brothers, you don't have to be afraid. He gave that grace unreservedly. Grace is undeserved. Grace is unreserved. But grace must also be unending. It was interesting when Jesus was asked one time, how many times should I forgive someone? Seven times? As a matter of fact, that statement was from someone thinking that they're being magnanimous, that they're, you know, going beyond what really should be required. And Jesus says, no. I expect you to forgive 70 times 7. And the point wasn't to do the math. The point was that grace is unending. Here's a statement. God used a famine to bring a family back together. What will God need to do to bring your family back together or to reconcile you with a friend? Adrian Rogers said, "Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's really a choice." The explanation for everything can be traced back to one simple fact. A forgiving God is seeking you. Joseph had a twofold task: to make his brothers see that he was really Joseph, and to show that he utterly forgave their sin that they had committed against him 22 years prior. Speaking about this, R.T. Kendall makes the statement, "The twofold task of the gospel is to convince you who Jesus is and that he completely forgives you." I want you to listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Can I ask you a question this morning? Have you personally experienced the grace of Almighty God? Do you know this morning that you have offended God, and that the Bible says that if you do not know Jesus Christ, you're actually the enemy of God? But God loved you so much that while you were still a sinner, Jesus died for you. And the Bible says Jesus died for you to reconcile you back to God. So it's in Jesus Christ that we experience the abundance of God's grace, that if we will say, "Yes, God, I know I'm a sinner," receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, then by grace through faith, we are saved. It's not of our works, because otherwise we would boast about it, but God wants you to experience the abundance of his grace. And when you do, somehow when Christ fills your life, God enables you, and God gives you the ability and the power through the fullness of his Spirit to forgive as you have been forgiven. I can't imagine what someone listening may have experienced. I imagine that some of you have been mistreated in horrible ways that are unfathomable to most of us. I don't want you to continue to live in that bitterness or brokenness or wound. I want you to find, through the forgiveness that you give, the freedom that is ours in Christ. And the only way you're going to get there is that you trust the sovereign plan of God, that no matter what has happened, you believe that God loves you and he's at work in your life. And that no matter what anyone else has ever done to you, you choose to treat them with the grace that you've been given in Christ. Steve Canfield, my friend, talks about overcoming bitterness. He gives 5 steps that are helpful in overcoming bitterness and resentment. Make a list of the people who've wronged you. You see, sometimes before you can ever get better, you've got to get honest. Be honest that you still may be holding a grudge, a hurt, a wound, or bitterness or resentment. The second thing is, clear your conscience. Confess to God, and then if appropriate, if you have held bitterness and unforgiveness towards someone, then go to them and deal with that, as Christ says from Matthew 18. I'm speaking this morning to some husbands and wives or friends that there was something that happened between you. You thought that it was resolved, and you said that you forgave one another, but in reality, deep within you, there is still a bitterness and a resentment and an unresolved wound that you haven't let go of. Third, thank God. You say, Daryl, are you telling me to thank God for every circumstance, even the good and the bad? Yes. Thank God, not because it happened, but thank God because He loves you and has never abandoned you. And even in the midst, God is going to use that for your good and for His glory. There's another step. Choose to forgive. In Ephesians 4:32, we're reminded that we are to forgive others fully as we have each been forgiven. After Jesus' instructions in Matthew 18, when Peter asked that question that all of us wonder about, how often shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Seven times? Remember, Jesus said 70 times seven, not so that you can limit forgiveness, but that you can show forgiveness again and again and again. And then the fifth step, if appropriate and if possible, is to rebuild relationships. Now, there are some things that people do to us that we cannot reconcile in a relationship with them. It wouldn't even be appropriate. But when those circumstances are appropriate, we should do everything that we can to reconcile one with another in relationship. I don't want you to grow bitter. I don't want you to live with resentment. I don't want you to be a cynical, negative person. But I want you to find the freedom that is yours in Christ, because Jesus has come to set you free. This morning, if your heart is wounded and you're heavy and you need help overcoming something, if you will contact us by text, call, or email, we will follow up. Right now, this morning, someone listening says, I have never trusted Jesus Christ and received His gift of grace. And I'd like to talk with someone about how this weight of my own sin can be taken off of me, and I can find freedom in the grace of God. If you'll let us know, we will call you, we will follow up with you, and we will help you know the grace of God that is ours in Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the life of Joseph. Lord God, I pray that we will grow in the grace of God, not only trusting in it, but living it out every day the way we treat other people. Help us to find the freedom that is ours in Jesus. And I pray, Lord, in your name, amen.